Budget challenges and management issues continue to nag the Environmental Protection Agency. The Government Accountability Office has been following the EPA's problems, and they have some solutions. David Trimbles, the Director of Natural Resources and Environment Issues at the GAO.
Well, our most recent report is really a compilation of some past work we've done. This report tackled sort of three issues. One was EPA's management of its workload, workforce, and real property, coordination challenges in terms of working with other agencies to more effectively leverage resources. And then we made some observations on our past work we've done looking at the EPA's annual budget requests.
You hit on something here that normally I don't see people touch on in GAO reports, but I think is very appropriate when it comes to the EPA. You write, EPA operates in a highly complex and controversial regulatory arena. What does that controversy have as far as an impact on the way they do business? Does it impact it at all one way or the other?
Well, I mean, I think, as with many federal agencies, I think these kind of challenges complicate efforts in terms of having more predictability regarding your funding streams, what it's going to look like, swings with political changes, et cetera. And in case of EPA, certainly many actions EPA takes are subject to lots of litigation. So it certainly complicates the arena in which they operate.
You also get to a challenge here that I think not many people have talked about when it comes to the overall federal budget. You write, from fiscal years 2000 through 2010, the agency's budget rose in nominal terms from $7.8 billion to $10.4 billion, but has remained relatively flat over this period in real terms. And that's not a conversation that I've seen much yet as part of the challenges budget-wise that agencies are facing, not just EPA, but everybody.
Oh, absolutely. And I believe the president's budget request comes in around $9 billion. So I think in real terms, that's a decrease from where they were in 2000. And so what that means is the pressure on the agency is to face, you know, rising rent costs and personnel costs and all that. You have to make cuts in other ways to just stay even.
All right. So you looked at some of the management challenges, how they're managing their workload, the people that work there and so on. What did you find in that area in particular? What did you talk about before Congress?
Well, in the workload workforce area, what we reported was that EPA has not comprehensively analyzed its workload or workforce since the 1980s. And when they did a notional workforce plan in around 2007, 2006 time frame, there was really no linkage to the strategic plan. And what this means, what our concern is that you need these plans to ensure that you've got the right number of people with the right skills at the right locations. And that's been a challenge for the agency.
You've had real property management at EPA on the high risk list for a fair amount of time now. Any progress that they're making there?
Well, real property actually is not limited to EPA. The high-risk list for real property management is a federal government issue across all agencies. All agencies are facing this challenge, and that's been on GAO's high risk since 2003. For EPA, we did a recent work looking at their laboratories, and we found that they had challenges there simply because they didn't have the data necessary to effectively manage those properties in accordance with guidance that has come out from the Federal Real Property Council since 2004.
One of the things that you write here in particular, EPA operated a laboratory enterprise consisting of 37 labs in 170 buildings and facilities in 30 cities and didn't have, as you put it, accurate, reliable information on its labs to respond to the president's request for information about excess properties. What do you find as far as what EPA can do? Is this just a simple conducting an inventory? And by inventory, I mean a detailed assessment of exactly what they have where?
Well, there's two things going on there. One is the facility master plans at these facilities. Each facility is supposed to have a master plan. It's supposed to be updated every 5 years. Those plans were out of date, and in some cases, they hadn't been prepared. So the basic data, which links what the purpose of that facility is to the strategic plan, wasn't there. And then basic information on the usage and the condition and the cost of operating that data, that facility, wasn't there. So if you don't have the data at the lab, the facility level, you can't come up with a sort of a strategic assessment. They hadn't fully coordinated the federal plan for the cleanup of the bay with the states, and so what you have now is both the states and the feds essentially working on similar but not exactly the same goals. And so you risk sort of wasting resources or not as being as effective as you otherwise could be.
You made two observations in this report that we have linked up at federalnewsradio.com, or in this testimony, about budget justifications, but one in particular I wanted to ask you about very quickly. We're almost out of time, and that is EPA's budget justification documents don't provide information on funds from appropriations in prior years that weren't expended and are available for new obligations. They're certainly not the only offender is too much there, but they're not the only ones that do that, though, right?
No, I think that I've not been involved in other budget reviews of this nature, but I believe that's a challenge for many agencies.
David Trimble, Director of Natural Resources and Environment Issues at the Government Accountability Office. You can read his report on the EPA and hear this conversation on the In-Depth page at federalnewsradio.com. Coming up on In-Depth with Francis Rose, time running out on your agency's budget. The clock is ticking. Any progress? You'll learn about it next on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.